get started, we need a roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan.
Here.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Supervisor Perez.
Excellent. All right. Okay, so we need a table of summary of proceedings from July 20th meeting. Do you need them? Or can you hear us? Okay, here we go. Okay. So, on our July 20th meeting minutes, I have a motion.
I'll make a motion with correction.
Okay. Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay. And the corrections are?
Page 6, under old business, the first paragraph there.
I don't think it's on.
There you go. Okay. First paragraph under old business and staff referrals, it says heard from Carly, which is spelled C-A-R-L-Y. And then on the next page, Nick has a copy of this.
Yeah.
And I wrote it a lot clearer on yours than I did on mine. So, Commissioner, I've spoken with Ms. Morris, Director Cullen, the Sheriff Deputy from Ridgecrest, and Denny from Supervisor Gleason's office. I wanted to make sure all that was in there. And then down about halfway down that same paragraph, it says Commissioner Madigan feels I'd like to cross out the fields that would be beneficial and add that agree to schedule the meeting with two commissioners and the parties involved.
Madigan, what's the name of the guy from Gleason's office?
Denny something.
Klein is his last name.
Kale.
I-N-E.
I-N-E?
Yep. No, that was May. That was
okay.
All
right. Okay, any other corrections? Alrighty. Okay, so then we have a second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Alright. Alright, consent agenda. There's no correspondence filed. We can move on.
There's something listed here.
Yeah. Not on mine. Are you looking at last month's?
No.
No? August 17th.
Oh, okay.
Emails received from Terry Valentine.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Mine says none.
Yeah, mine says none.
Mm. You may have a straggler that is not supposed to be there. That's probably left over from the previous month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. She and I have it on
I can get you the corrected version.
Okay. On to public presentations. We have a small group, so we will start at the front table. Anything? Tim? Any presentation?
No.
Okay. Liz?
Carly.
Yes, ma'am.
You have a quick something?
You're welcome. Quick something. My name is Liz Keogh. Okay. This ain't working.
Well,
maybe
because I didn't
turn the
that
helps.
My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H. I'm a resident of an unincorporated area in the 5th Missouri District. I had hoped before I came here to send the people on the Kern County Animal Welfare Advocates mailing list. Remember at the last meeting I had people sign up, and I've added a whole bunch of other people who may or may not want to be there. Concerning the city business with Pumpkin and the New, what meeting has occurred, what meetings are going to occur, what reports, blah, blah, blah. Basically, there is a meeting on this coming Monday of the Legislative and Litigation Committee, which probably won't handle that stuff, but I've been told they do have another referral about animal control.
So I'm going to be there, and you'll learn it when you get the email, which really I wanted to push then before I left, but I thought I'd be late. So the first thing I do when I go home is do that. The report will probably be at the September 7th City Council meeting, which is at 5:15 at City Hall South. Then we have the county meetings that are also, one is next Monday at 6 o'clock to discuss the budget. And Colin, are you going to talk a little bit more about that later on?
I wasn't planning on it, but...
All right, well, then I will. And then, do you know if the budget is morning or afternoon session on Tuesday?
Morning.
That's what I figured. The final vote on the budget is on Tuesday morning, the 23rd of August. The meeting begins at 9 o'clock. We, meaning Kern County Animal Services, have not been issuing vouchers pending, you know, the $20 voucher that you pay for and then it covers everything, pending final approval of that budget. Now, I believe we got a commitment a while back that $200,000 will be there. But I think it's exceptionally important that people show up or email, and I put the email addresses for all the supervisors and the clerk in the email I'll send you, to show the support that the people in the community have for this program. And if you can show up and talk, that's great. If not, send them an email, inundate them with an email. Have them get a pickup truck to, you know, bring the emails in support. So that's all I have for the moment, at least.
Thank you. I really appreciate your taking time from your normal schedule to do this kind of thing for us.
Your normal poker play?
Yeah, I know. Jeopardy, you know. Public presentations, anybody? Last row? All right. That ends public presentations. Wow. Woo-hoo. On to Edie, staff announcements. This may be a record.
You're right, it may be a record because our volunteer coordinator is not here. He's nursing a broken foot and a torn Achilles tendon.
Oh dear. Oh my God.
And I don't believe Mr. Smith has really any updates on
the new program. 2 minutes or less.
I'll believe it when I see it.
That's what I'm saying.
But just to touch on something that Keo had mentioned, you know, I think at the board meeting about 2 months ago, we had a commitment from the county administrative officer that the $200,000 was paid would be in the budget again.
I'll sit down.
It doesn't give us the opportunity to spend. So hopefully that will come to fruition next week, and we'll be able to start up this major program again. And we're going to work feverishly to make sure that we can try to make sure that there's not a gap in the time from when we're issuing vouchers and not issuing vouchers like there was this year. Just to go over some of the highlights in the director's report, our rescue program still remains the same, 175 animals placed through rescue partners in the month of July. Animal Services foster program continues to grow. The month of July saw 77 new animals enter the foster care program. At the time that this was compiled, we had 126 animals currently in foster program. We have about a 98% adoption rate on the animals that graduate from the foster program.
Wow.
Which is a little bit higher than it was the year before. 2013, our trap, neuter, return program still going strong. Through July of 2016, a total of 4,594 cats have been altered to the TNR program. Again, those are cats that would have not survived earlier than July of 2013 when we started the trap, neuter, return program. Our spay neuter clinics, it's important to realize that our spay neuter efforts that you're looking at in the director's report, this is not out of the county's contribution for the spay neuter program. This is a grant that the department received from Petco.
Petco.
To operate spay neuter in Lamont. I don't know how many of us have driven through the city of Lamont, but it's very important to have targeted spay neuter in Lamont. We had four clinics, technically. July 1st, we had a clinic, and then the 13th, 14th, and 15th, we had spay neuter clinic, too. They were very successful, but what I want to point out is there are 170 total surgeries to date through that grant that we received from Petco. That may not seem like a lot, but when you're talking about a small, relatively small area like Lamont, 170 animals that are fixed in that small area is huge. So we're hoping that we see the fruits of that labor very soon in the city of Lamont. We had our Taft vaccination clinic on July 23rd at Ford City. 192 rabies vaccinations and 228 licenses were sold at that clinic. I wanted to point that out.
Nice.
That is an obscene amount of licenses and rabies vaccinations, so our P team is doing the job that they are supposed to be doing. But also anecdotally, you know, part of what we're trying to do with the department is, you know, in years past, we were field, shelter, and administrative, and rarely did those silos intermingle. But what we're trying to do is bring everybody together and realize that we all have a common goal within the department. So what we're seeing is that our officers are now seeing a difference in their areas that they patrol by the amount of stray dogs that are in the neighborhood, because it's anecdotal, but what our officers are seeing, especially in targeted areas like Northeast Bakersfield, is that they're not seeing as many stray dogs. So our officers are now going to our PEAT team and saying, hey, you get whatever you're doing is working, because we're not seeing the dogs, the problems that we saw before. And it's not that there's no dogs running loose in all of Northeast Bakersfield, but when you're an officer who runs that area for 3 to 6 months, you know when there's a problem area and you know when there's less dogs out. You start wondering, is everybody on vacation or something like that? Our Wednesday evening clinics still going strong. We had the 6th, the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. Again, those are almost solely a production from the PEAT team. The majority of the folks that show up at those clinics, they're showing up at those clinics because they have to, because normally we issue them a citation. We don't give them the opportunity to take 30, 60, 90 days to make the correction. And we made that change back in January or so. And ever since then, the numbers at the Wednesday night clinics have been extraordinary. Adoptions were very successful. In the month of July, we saw 552 animals get adopted in the month of July. Stuff that really put that number in its place, but that's a lot. Probably 252 animals for us in 1 month. Year-to-date, 2,889 animals have been adopted. 14 cats adopted through the Petco stores in July alone. 323 animals total have been placed into adoptive homes through the Petco partnership in less than a year. So we're grateful for that partnership. Also, we did have a promotion running in the month of July. That was our Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Puppies adoption promotion. It was successful, as noted by the 550-some-odd adoptions that we did. My only fear for the promotions is that it's getting to the point where if we charge more than $20 for a dog, somebody thinks they're being gouged.
We just had all the newbies on the flyer.
Our volunteers donated 1,935 total hours in July. The value of those hours given back to animal services is approximately $47,000 and change.
Is that just for the month of July?
The 1,900 hours for July.
Yes. But the dollar amount?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And that's 10 total staff, equates to about 10 total staff members. And those numbers stay consistent. Actually, our volunteer hours took a bit of a dip in the month of July.
That's vacation.
By a couple. Yeah. That's what we think.
So you figure we're averaging a lot from the year, beginning of the year till now. Probably saved the county how much in monies?
Maybe $500,000 or something around.
I think that's important to point out in our little conversation.
But I do think when we read that statistic of the money that's being saved by the county, we have to put it in its context. And the jobs that most of the volunteers are doing, aside from washing bowls, they're jobs that we wouldn't probably need to get done in the shelter. Mm-hmm. We want to get done in the shelter. And that's folding blankets, walking dogs, behavioral training for animals, spending a little bit more time giving that human touch to the animals in the shelter. Those are the things that the volunteers do. So even though there is that, you know, $47,000 savings that we get from the volunteers, it's important to realize that what they're doing increases the animal's likelihood of staying healthy and being adoptable in the shelter.
It also increases the beneficial view that the public has.
Sure. So I like the dollar figure, but sometimes I like to say there's more to it.
Sure.
Well, and the pet detective program
that probably saves money in and of itself.
And that's included in those volunteer hours, our pet detective program. For those of us who don't know, we do have a pet detective program. It's run by volunteers, solely volunteers. Actually, I think there's three volunteers that run it right now. Basically, what they do is they see the animals that are incoming. They print out lists of animals that came in that day, and there's a Facebook page that they use and a Twitter feed that they use to put those animals with pictures up online. And I think we've been working that program since about February or March of this year, and it doesn't sound like much, but I think they've reunited about 15 or 16 animals since then. But those are animals that may or may not have been reunited prior to that program being run. We also have a volunteer office services specialist who donated a couple of hours this month. But the volunteer program's still going strong. Our field services report, you can see that the breakdown is no surprise. Northeast and Northwest Bakersfield are one call apart from each other. 292 calls run in Northeast Bakersfield, 293 total calls run in Northwest. Northwest is usually the Oildale area. Northeast is usually the East Bakersfield area. Total of 1,433 calls for service were run in the month of June. 12 dogs returned to their owners in the field. That's 12 dogs that didn't have to come to the shelter. 73 dogs secured on property by animal control officers in the month of June. Again, those are animals, or it should be July. Those are animals that did not come into the shelter. And last but not least, I did want to touch on the fact that Kern County Animal Services now has a veterinarian.
Yay!
Her name is Dr. Rebecca Arnold. She is in the audience.
Oh, hi!
And it's been a pleasure to work with Dr. Arnold for these 2.5 weeks. She's a super nice person, super smart, intelligent. She's got herself dirty already, and she's evaluating our operation, and she's already brought up some really good suggestions and points and things we should be concerned with. So just so happy that Dr. Arnold's with us. And she's been more than willing to accommodate us with whatever the department needs. And it's fascinating to think that we have a veterinarian that can see an animal that may need an amputation. And instead of sending it to somebody else, she says, well, I've done amputations before. Why can't I do that here? So, again, just very happy that Dr. Arnold's with us. I'm not going to make her come up here and say any words, but she's in the audience. If anybody would like to acknowledge her after the meeting, she'll be here. And that concludes my director's report.
You have a new surgery suite, too.
We do, yes. Our surgical suite, it's not technically finished yet. We're still trying to supply some instruments and tools and supplies that need to finish off the room. One of those, and some of them are rather expensive. We have actually applied for a grant to cover the cost of those supplies that are still needed in the surgery room. But the medical staff, led by Dr. Arnold, has taken it upon themselves, without my input, thankfully, to start doing surgeries by using the supplies that we may have left over in the RV. So I think 5 days so far since Dr. Arnold was in this, we've been doing surgeries in that surgery room. And we're hoping that the long and fruitful relationship with Dr. Arnold is in the medical staff.
Excellent.
I have a question about the Lamonts. Is the Literalist Lamont still going?
Yes.
You still, okay.
Yes, I believe it runs. Blake, does the Literalist Lamont grant run until the end of this calendar year?
They wanted us to do it as much as possible in 6 months, which is the end of October, and we're hoping to be done by then, but if it trickles over into November, I'm not going to get too stressed over it.
I wasn't sure about posting that, so...
Keep posting Literalist Lamont.
Keep posting the flyer, okay.
Yeah, and you know, Lamont's a... We've been trying different ways to get the word out from Lamont, but we've noticed that the numbers are coming out of it either way. And again,
when school gets back into session...
Yeah,
which is just starting. Yeah. I will tell you to have whoever is driving Lamont take a boatload of flyers and send them out through the schools, because that's what we did, and that's what Alpha Canine did, and that's where we got the 5,000 people in 20
it's
minutes.
It's important to realize that Literalist Lamont program is not only spay and neuter; it's also minor medical.
Minor medical, yeah.
So that's important, too, because, you know, there's not a veterinarian that's really close by.
No, nobody. there's no
the nearest one is probably 15 miles away.
At least.
And so it's important that we at least provide...
Yeah, if you print those flyers, English on one side, Spanish on the other, and just give them to the ACO that goes through there and have them drop them off at the schools and ask them to hand them out, you'll be booked through next year.
You might need district permission, Jude.
Yeah, you will need more...
But I do know that Little Lamont grant, Liz worked on that grant with us, and it seemed like it was tailor-made for the city of Lamont.
Yeah.
So it's having an effect.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'm sure there are.
I don't want to jump ahead of the lady, so.
Good. I'm
okay. I looked at the numbers. They look good. No specific oddities.
It's
as a matter of fact, I do have a comment.
I'm stunned.
It just so happens.
We're just surprised.
But it is a surprise. Thank you, Director Cullen. Hey, you mentioned about the adoptions, and I noticed that this morning when I was crunching my numbers. For the month of July, you adopted 552 animals. And if you average the first 7 months of the year, we average about 406 a month, but you did 552. Now, besides the life, liberty, and pursuit of puppies, is there anything besides that you do? What is the trick? Because July is kind of a tricky month to do that many. Normally, you see that in the off season, more so than in the middle of summer.
Our adoption numbers always stay pretty consistent. But as far as promotions are concerned, I think out of the 12 months of the calendar year 2016, we only had 1 month, and that was in April, when we didn't have a promotion. So we will have some sort of promotion going between now and the end of the calendar year. And at some point, we'll get together and probably develop another 12 promotions for the following. There are some concerns that we have. Again, the county's budget is what it is. The department's budget is what it is. We'll know a lot more next week. But like Ms. Keough had mentioned, it's not a terrible idea that if you care passionately for animals in the county of Kern and you support what the department is doing, that you make your voice known at the Board of Supervisors hearing, budget hearings, or through email, like Ms. Keough said, to show support for the department. Not that I feel that our department would be drastically cut, but you never know. Yes.
Well, my question really wasn't what promotions are you doing. It's just I'm wondering about the feelings in the county. Like people are getting inspired to maybe come in and adopt animals more. They're kind of catching on that we're trying to go no kill. Do you kind of see that?
I don't think the folks that are coming to our shelter to adopt are at least the majority of them are not adopting with the reason being to support the no kill equation. I think it's more along the lines that when somebody's in the market for a dog or a cat, the mentality of where to get that dog or cat is changing.
Yes.
It's much, much more prevalent now to go to the shelter and adopt an animal. Yeah. And I don't think it's ever been like that before.
No,
I think
that's part of
it.
Start.
Yeah. And as far as specific promotions, I'm not sure what we have scheduled for September. I know it's something, and I know it's $20 for dogs and $10 for cats. However, I do know that October, November, December is usually our home for the holidays, where it's
howling mm-hmm. for homes
is
October.
Is it October? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then November, December is home for the holidays. Yeah.
The reason I'm saying is because you can see the change in attitude, and you see it in a variety of places.
And I'll be honest with you, Commissioner Blackburn, through the chair, we again, the way the department's budget is, we have to look at everything we do. And one of the things we look at is the promotions that we do. And, are we in a financial position as a department where we can continue to offer dogs and cats at $20 and $10? So it's something we'll look into and we'll consider. Myself and the business manager will sit down and make a decision whether or not there is, room for an increase in our promotional pricing for adoptions. Because not many people know that our regular price for an adoption is $85.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you what your regular price was because you've been on a promotion for months and months and months.
$70 for a city resident, $85 for a county resident. That's the normal.
$85.
And I think it's what, $50 for cats?
Isn't it? Yeah, 50 40
and
50.
40 and 50.
40 males.
50 for females.
I know you said, of course, I know you subsidize, the real costs. I didn't know what the real costs were, but if you charge $85, it probably costs you $75 for a dog and $40 or $45 for a cat, something like that.
To give you an idea,
our average cost per animal per day is around $25 per day, just to carry the animal. Our average hold time is about 11 days.
Okay.
If you do the math, it's costing us probably $250 to $300 per animal just to get them adopted.
Wow.
And
that doesn't include the alteration.
Right, it doesn't include this. That's just that's staff time and supplies.
Commissioner Blackburn, just to let you know, the county is required by law to charge no more than its own cost of service. So there is no profit margin. If we're charging $50, that's what it costs. Actually, it usually costs more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just curious how much you really are subsidizing, because you can't do it for $10. I know that. So
I think it's probably foolish to think that any municipal animal shelter could run making a profit.
No, I've never thought of that at all.
But we get to a point where we have to look at the financial crisis that the county's in and decide how the department can adjust its practices, evaluate the programs that we have, and see how we're going to move forward and still achieve the goals that we have.
No, I never thought for 1 second that you're making a profit at $10 or $20 a head. Just so everybody knows that, I never thought that for a second.
Commissioner,
I just wondered how much you were subsidizing.
Commissioner Blackburn, the number he gave you is what it is if we take shelter costs, but if you add the cost of the officers and the cost of the administrative staff, it's an average, and it's in excess of $400 per animal from the time they go in until the time they get out.
Wow.
And so to be giving them for $20 is
insane.
Driving you nuts?
I'm just stating the data. No emotion here.
Or the county, I think it's a great way to spend it. I mean, that is a lot of money, $400.
When you watch the Board of Supervisors meetings and they talk about the new norm, there's an example of it. It's departments like Animal Services looking at the programs and promotions that we have and thinking it's time for a change.
That's what
we have to adapt.
So exactly.
But the same thing will be said for us.
Okay. My other comments are on the outcomes that we all like to look at, at least I do. Of course, you got to look at the intake and be able to get a handle and a control on your outcomes. The intakes I've analyzed here, and I noticed that for the first 7 months of this year, the number of dogs are down 400 on the intakes. This is all jurisdictions. The number of cats are up 100, so we've got a net reduction of 300 animals year to date over last year, which is good. Because if you can't stem the tide of the animals coming in, you're going to get in trouble. So you're doing that, and you're reducing them. So that's good. So if we switch gears and go to outcomes.
Commissioner Blackburn, if I could just touch on that. The intake numbers are a little deceiving.
Are they?
I mean, the statistics are good, but just to give you a little insight to what we see.
Okay.
Our trapping and release program has sort of changed the game a bit. And when I say that, you would think that running a trapping and release program and fixing 5,000 cats in the past 2.5 years would show a result in the overall cats that are coming in, but it has not. We've actually seen an increase in the amount of cats that are coming in through the trapping and release program, and we feel pretty strongly that that's because there's colony caretakers who are taking advantage of the program who may not be city or county residents, but know somebody who is. To be honest with you, contrary to probably what our business manager feels, I'm fine with that.
Okay. You get the job done, but it's not exactly kosher.
Yeah. I think way back in the day when we had meetings about our trap, mute, release program, catnip program, I think it was. We had some meetings about the trap, mute, release program, and the folks that gathered together and talked about it, that's one of the suggestions they made, is that, it's a fixed animal, it's a fixed animal.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we're needed, and we're not really looking into not taking anybody's cat that they're dropping off.
Well, I'm with you on that one. I agree with you 100%. As far as the outcomes go, just so we kind of get a grip on progress that we've made, if you added the dogs and the cats for the first 7 months of last year, the live outcomes were 53%. This year, first 7 months, we're up to 64%, which I think is incredible. We're 11 percentage points over last year. And this being probably historically, hardest months of the year, the summer month, because they're breeding. And so being able to hold that line, I think, is commendable, really commendable. That you're able to keep it at 64, 65, 66%. So we're at 64 for the first 7 months of this year, which is really, really good.
But anyway, I noticed that the intakes are down and the live outcomes are up. So that's all good. So I think that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. All good? Blake?
Okay.
Just start the clock.
Yeah, start the clock. Jared Bradley said, there's no way I'm going to be done in 2 minutes. So I'm in 2 minutes, I'm sitting down. All right. So I just wanted to touch on the Literal Samad program. As Nick said, we're at 170 so far. We have two days for September already booked, and they're fully booked, and they still have a waiting list. And there's one section of Lamont that the PEEP team hasn't even been in. Now, this is anecdotal, I realize, but a few months ago, we did the officers did a sweep in Lamont, and they pulled in 27 dogs. Yesterday, they did a sweep in Lamont, and they pulled in 2 dogs. That is all that they could find out running around the streets of Lamont. And so, you know, I don't know if we've secured everything yet, but I think we're headed down a really good path there. And so between the PEEP team being out there canvassing like crazy and the spay and neuter that's going on, we're doing some good out there. And I believe they've already, if my brain cell is correct, I think they've already done a drop to the schools and gotten them out. Because I guess a lot of, there's almost as many kids in the school in the summertime in Lamont as there are year-round, is my understanding.
Yeah, they're year-round.
And
yeah.
So they've already done it, and it's been tremendously successful. And like I said, they've still got a waiting list, and I'm going to be done in less than... I'm going to have that many seconds left. I'm sitting down.
You have time to talk.
I'm impressed.
Wow.
That will likely be the only time that will ever happen.
Just keep tempting me and see what happens.
Okay, so can I have a motion to receive and file?
I make a motion to receive and file.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, on to commissioner announcements and reports.
Contrary to the standard, I don't have much.
Good
Lord. I've been in the
don't provoke her.
I've been in communication with the shelter a lot lately, but I don't really have a whole bunch to report. I have a friend who's lost a dog, $2,500 reward. I'll put it on the back. We believe that she's being held by a homeless person somewhere in Central Bakersfield.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it.
What?
Is there something else I was supposed to say?
It's all good. It's all good. I do want to report that the American Kennel Club Responsible Dog Ownership Day will be back on track this year. It's going to be the first Saturday in October, which I believe is October 1st.
Yes.
At Mill Creek, Bakersfield City is hosting it, and is the county participating?
Animal Services will be there with licensing and adoptable animals.
Fantastic. So we're going to be back on track, and we're really excited to do that. We had some illnesses and deaths that held us from doing it last year. So that's it for me. Okay. Old business. Okay, let's see here. Okay, so staff referrals, item A, following up on correspondence filed with the commission from July 20th regarding Jane Pruitt, her concern.
I did speak with Ms. Pruitt at length, and from what I feel I understand, the issue is it's moot moving forward. But the department will continue to monitor the issue that you notified us about.
Okay, perfect. Good. Okay, and then on item B, do you have a reply for the email for the commission?
That has been achieved.
It's handled? Okay,
yes.
Cool. And then item C, the Ridgecrest property issue.
Ongoing.
Okay.
We are monitoring the situation closely. We had a meeting on Friday with Teresa and another individual, and it was a very good meeting. I think Commissioner Madigan was part of that as well. Got some good information out of it, and I do believe that Teresa and Carly have some more information to give me tonight. So ongoing, and we'll continue to monitor.
Fantastic.
Do you guys have anything to share with the group, or just individually?
Individually, but if you wanted to stay after again.
Say
that
again?
I said individually, but if you wanted to stay after again, since you've been on
I do want to, and I would like to reach out to Ms. Taggart, since you're in the request also, and say hi.
I just want to mention one of the highlights of the meeting, at least from my perspective. We talked about a lot of different things. We were there, what, 2 hours? Something like that. Is this on?
Yes.
It's on, okay. Is that the situation is multifaceted. It's not just an animal services issue. It's an issue with regards to many different agencies and branches of government and jurisdictions and things like that. And so I encourage the persons, these ladies, and the third person that was involved to approach it from a multifaceted angle, because it's not something that can completely be addressed with just animal control. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you. We appreciate all your work on this matter. Okay. All righty. On to item number 2, emergency prep. So.
Okay, we're calling ourselves Lariat, the little group up in Tehachapi, and at this point what we're trying to do is take the CARES, which is the California Animal Response Emergency System, and coupling it with an existing plan that has worked pretty well up in Bear Valley. So we're trying to put them together. And so we won't be overwhelmed. We've got Nick and Officer Smith, I think, working on a CARES program in-house, and we're working on kind of like the mini-me plan for the greater Tehachapi Valley, since they're more likely to have more issues up there right now. So we will have the draft plan by the end of the month, and we're moving right along.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, and then number 3, friends.
Judy Donnell, President, Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation. There are flyers back there. We are Barbara. Barbara is just nuts up there. Barbara is our board member who lives in Squirrel Valley and came within 2 houses of losing her home. So, but they've picked back up on the, we're running a what's called Snip and Tip, which is a feral cat TNR program up there, and somebody donated the saddle, and tickets are going for $5 a piece to win this. It's in excellent condition. So if you know anyone that's interested, there's a phone number, and this is her phone number. You can contact her to get tickets, and they will do the drawing at the Peddler's Fair, which is also the first weekend in October. So we're raising money for that because we have a clinic next weekend. Simi Valley Clinic has, the Valley Vet Clinic has agreed to do it again for the $40 a cat instead of $50. So it saves us a bunch of money if we can provide, which is not a problem, 40 cats for each day. She said she has like 47 lined up for the one day that somebody doesn't show up. And then 49 the next day, for just in case. And we have enough traps and we have enough crates to move everything around. But that's to do those 80 cats is $3,000. So we're like $500 short for next weekend. Because what we're trying to do is make this self-funding within the Kern River Valley. So, obviously, we're going to pay the bill, and then she'll have to keep doing fundraising to kind of bring that back. Otherwise, we've done 109 cats through last month, I believe. We also, because we had the traps up there that helped the county with catching animals after the fire, so those were all used for that. And let's see, what else did we have? The probably be at Responsible Dog Ownership Day.
and a couple of fundraisers coming up, but nothing like Wags to Riches probably again, but not until I think September, October, that we'll run another one of those and try to get some more money going. So, the only other project that we're looking at, we're working on to get a office trailer size 20-foot trailer for the, what are you calling it? The kitten
nursery.
House, the nursery for the cat, for kittens in the foster program. And that was one thing I was going to talk about last month that Mr. Blackburn had asked about, which was the foster program, because I had, and how does it work? Because I had some feral kitties in the yard, and I took them down there. They signed me up. They do the vet checks, fill out the paperwork while you're there. I already had KMR, but they sent me home with non-clumping litter. Took them back 2 weeks later. Now they're big enough. So I got some canned food, got some dry food, they got their front line, they got their vet checks, take it back 2 weeks later, and I get the rescue list. So by the time when the three of them got big enough that they can stay, they have to be like 2.5 pounds to go be fixed, then they stay. So I'm watching the rescue list, and the two little boys in like 4 days suddenly showed up as spayed or neutered, you know, and instead of not, and then 2 days later they were gone. They're off the list. The little girl hung out for about another week, and then she showed up spayed, and then 2 days later she was gone. So they got adopted. So I keep telling people, these guys will give you everything you need except for some space in your house and your time to take care of them. And the first time around, the first kitten, two kittens I took in there, I got a thank you letter in the mail. I was like, what is this? You know, I'm looking at it going, dang it, I don't have, you know, my city animals. Why are you sending me a letter? And it was a thank you note. And I also missed an appointment because I have every other Friday off, and I didn't even look at the dates. And I was set up for a Friday that I worked, and I didn't go because I can't go because I'm working. And she calls me up. I'm going, I'll be there next week. I can't go. Couldn't bring them because it's the wrong way. But they followed up on the fact that they were scheduled for a vet appointment and I didn't show up. And I get this call. So Deanna's on top of it. She really is. And I've been pushing that on our Facebook postings. Is, you know, this is what you need to do. We need to, because people will burn out. I haven't done it for a while. I'm going on vacation, but I'll probably, you know, swing back by again in October and see if I can foster some man. Because, yeah, you can't, I mean, you can't do it week over and over and over again. It burns you out, especially if you're bottle feeding. That's a lot more work than ones that just have to be a little bit, you know, they're eating on their own, but they're not big enough yet. Those are the fun ones. Those are really fun. So I keep pushing that, and, you know, we're trying to help with keep it in. Yes, we talked about this. It's expensive, so maybe we can run some kind of fundraiser to help target. KMR's expensive.
Do we have any, have we contacted any of the companies for donations?
I don't know.
We have not.
But we need to have those discussions about seeing what we can, if we can get stuff donated, if we can get food donated.
Sure.
You know, canned food hangs out for quite a while.
Absolutely.
So. They even gave me a blanket. I guess maybe the little ladies that make all the blankets, I got my carrier back with a new blanket in it for the kittens. And when I took them back, I said, this is your blanket, so you can have it back.
Because I took mine in for a vet check. They promptly pooped all over the carrier, and it's a cloth carrier. When I took them in, and it, you know, it was a mess, and I gave them a mess. It was all cleaned up when I got
when they got to come back, yeah. Now, I will say it takes a while. When you go to drop them off for the vet check, it's an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
I just drop them off and go, I'll be back, you know, go to Target and come back. And but then they're usually ready. But yeah, they showed up, they're all clean, they got their front line on them, so there's no more fleas, and, you know, yeah, it was, she runs, this is wonderful. It's really, really good.
Although I know I have people asking about puppies. Now, mostly I think it's kittens. It's pretty much kittens. So I highly encourage people to sign up. If you can't bottle feed, you can still take care of, 5 to 6 week-olders till they get to be 8 or 9 weeks when they're big enough to be spayed and neutered and adopted out. That's the fun age because it's a lot less hassle than the bottle feeders. So there's my 2 cents on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I get that flyer online and I can send it to the horse groups?
Yeah, I was going to post it on our Facebook. I just got it from her today. So are you friends with us on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to put it on there. I just got this, and probably tomorrow morning. So look for it, and then you can share it all over the place.
Will do.
Thanks.
All right. We have no new business, so the last... Yes, sir.
A quick question.
Okay.
Judy, thank you for the comment on the fostering.
Sure.
I'm glad that we're stepping up the efforts in fostering, and I'm not sure how it all evolved, to be honest with you, but I meant to ask Nick, why are 98% of the foster animals adopted? What is the reason? What is the main reason? Is it the people that foster them, do they take them? Or why would you say the percentage is so high?
Well, we do have a lot of foster failures, which is...
which is when they stay home.
No one's married. And we define a foster failure as somebody who wants to...
Foster failure?
Yeah.
We define foster failure as somebody who fosters an animal with the intent to give it back and they end up adopting it. So we do give the fosters, because we know that it is an issue, we give them, I think, the first 2 picks of a litter. So if they're fostering a litter of kittens or puppies, any 2 which they have a special bond with, they can adopt, and they have the first right to do that. But as far as the save percentage, they're kittens. Everybody wants a kitten.
They're hand raised, they're sweet, they're raised in homes with kids, with dogs, so they're socialized,
so they're
other
more
cats.
Adoptable.
Yeah.
They are more
adoptable,
but the other thing to consider is also a lot of our foster graduates go directly to Petco.
Yes.
And they get adopted pretty quickly there.
Yeah.
So kittens, combined with the fact that they're in a storefront, they don't last very long in the shelter.
Yeah, they're out of there.
I had kind of a funny story. When I first started adopting animals about 6 years ago, there were these 4 little kittens, and they needed to be bottle fed. I had never bottle fed a cat in my life. And I lined them up, and I had a beanbag chair, and I had this bottle, and I thought, I'm going to bottle feed these kittens, right? I can do this. I started bottle feeding this one, and the other 3 like attacked me because they wanted it. I had milk all over the place, but it was really a rewarding experience.
Yes.
But I thought, man, these cats are really pretty aggressive for that milk. That's why this is pretty amazing. So it was a great story. I thought, okay, I better bring an apron or something, or maybe figure it out some other way. But that's it. I thought that seemed to make sense. I'll just kind of lean back and do it. But they were all over me.
Yes. You do one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time. Segregated, that's right. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so last item on the agenda is adjournment.
Okay. Right along the
agenda. Any opposed?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, we came here late, unfortunately. We had some problems. We came here to the open forum for 2-minute speeches. Is there someone you can put that in tonight? Thank you very much.
All right.
At your discretion.
Yeah. Go ahead. Come on up to the mic. We need your name and where you live.
Oh. We need copies.
My name is Ruben Lopez, and I'm the president of a cat rescue in Mojave called Save a Life. In the last 2 months, our rescue has been raided by a certain animal control officer twice. He has taken, so far, 66 of our cats. And on the second raid, all the cats were healthy, and they have not given us any chance to get them back. They have not given us any chance to get the vet reports on that. And I just wanted to make a little statement. I'll keep it under 2 minutes. All the cats at Save a Life Sanctuary once had a real home. They once had a couch. They once had friends, affection, and pet in. These cats were brought into the world by a human society, and human society is now responsible for these cats. And that includes not killing them. Saving an animal is kind of the barometer of the compassion of our society. Animal rescue organizations like ours have people with compassion for animals. Their purpose and the mission is to help these animals and find homes for them. For these loving pets, and for any animal or any person that has to move and can't take their animal with them, rescues are a lifesend to them. Rescues are paradise compared to the alternative. Okay, saving cats is the mission, and Save a Life Rescue. This rescue was founded by a girl named Diana 10 years ago, and she brought it out here to Mojave, and she had a great mission. She was going to rescue cats and save them, and she got a ranch in Mojave, and it's a really nice ranch. She built all these really nice kennels, and all the cats are there. Unfortunately, Diana couldn't come out all the time because she was a school teacher. So she turned the ranch kind of over to their caretaker. Their caretaker was a girl named Tammy, and she basically ran the ranch into the ground. The place was a mess. It was falling apart. So people called me from Los Angeles to come out to the rescue and take over. I had to do it. Someone had to save the cats. Someone had to save the rescue. I moved out here. I spent tens of thousands of my own dollars. I completely refurbished the ranch. I fixed everything up. But Tammy didn't like it because she resented the authority. She made life difficult for us. She ran into the ground. She never cleaned. And eventually she devised this scheme to try to get me off the ranch. She called a certain Officer Burgess from Animal Control. Animal Control then came out and gave me 5 citations for an unclean rescue. This was 2 weeks after I had become president. I was still living in Los Angeles. When we went to court, there was no charges filed. It was all a ruse. Officer Burgess was bullying me and intimidating me from the beginning. For a year and a half, he's been coming out to our rescue, probably 50 times in the last year and a half. Then recently, Tammy called again and went to Burgess' office and told him he had sick cats on the rescue. He came out and confiscated 24 of our cats. 3 weeks later, he came out and confiscated 46 more of our cats. None of them were sick. He brought a whole army of trucks. He brought a whole army of people. He probably spent $10,000 or $20,000 of Animal Control's money to come out and seize our cats and take them to Bakersfield. And we have not been able to get those cats. We have, from the first day, from the first raid to the second raid, we have not been able to get any of our cats back. We have tried. We have done everything we could. We have retained an attorney. She couldn't do it either. And then last week, Animal Control sent a letter, Nick Cullen sent us a letter, saying that we could get our cats back if we paid $14,000. We're a rescue. We're out in the desert. There's not much money out here. We don't have $14,000. We now have 6 days to get our cats out, or they'll be euthanized or turned over to Animal Control. We have not had any way to get the cats back. There's also been a lot of information. This has been on the news. CBS came out and interviewed us. ABC came out and interviewed us. We're telling our story, but they have a story that Officer Burgess wrote, which contradicts our story, and our story contradicts Officer Burgess's story. And there's a lot of false allegations going on here, and Officer Burgess and Tammy, our old former caregiver, have something going on, and Burgess is taking a vendetta out on us. I mean, 50 inspections in a year and a half, seizing 66 of our cats that aren't even sick. And we have not been able to get the cats back, and we don't have the money. And all our time now is spent fighting this case. All our time is spent looking for attorneys, finding counsel, trying to get our cats back, calling Bakersfield every single day. And we don't have, and all this time and money is taken away from the cats we still have left. And so the cats we still have left are suffering because we're trying to save the cats that are already gone. Okay, pets are a part of life. They were brought into this world by humans. They have a soul. Right now, these cats are in Bakersfield jail. They're scared.
They don't know where they are. There's 66 of them, and we can't get them back. They've been there for a month now, over a month. We can't get them back. And they don't know what happened to the couch they used to sleep on. They don't know what happened to their former friends. They don't know where they are. And they don't know if they're going to live tomorrow or not. Or whether they will die in Kern County Jail. And that's the, will somebody save them? That's the question we're asking right now. Can anybody save our cats? We have 6 days left, and they want to come home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did he have a seizure here?
The first time.
The first time.
Yes.
The last seizure was pursuant to search warrant, so no hearing was necessary.
I'm sorry.
All right. I'm
going
to have to ask you to keep it down.
Yeah, I will. It's very short. I've got two short pages. My name is Jerry Mitchell. I'm one of the directors of Save a Life, and I've been with the organization approximately 2 years. I would first like to quote Kern County Animal Services mission statement. Providing professional and compassionate animal services to the people and pets of Kern County through the promotion of responsible pet ownership and community resources, prevention of animal cruelty, and the creation of a safe and healthy environment for lost, strayed, or homeless animals. I'm here today to say, in my judgment, animal control personnel, some of them, are incompetent, guilty of harassment, bullying, and animal cruelty. Cats are quick to stress, which often leads to illness. Taking the animals by force, as animal control did on August 3rd, with the animals being caught in nets, screaming and crying, is animal abuse. Both Reuben and I were in or near the premises, and if the animals needed to be taken, we could have gently put them in cages. Attached are photos which show various times guests have been on the premises and have interacted with the cats. Also, our printer broke down, so I don't have all the printing, but you could go to our Facebook or to Google and check some of this. In addition, ask any vet what happens when cats are treated in this inhumane manner. I have the names of persons who advised me they called animal control several times in Mojave regarding abused animals, giving the address where these animals were located, and animal control did not respond. I have been told the one subject that comes up at each neighborhood watch meeting is a non-response of animal control to calls. Any person who has driven in or near KL streets in Mojave can see the loose animals. Many women are afraid to be outside because of these animals. This is animal cruelty. Not checking on the calls made for help. I personally told Officer Burgess when he was at Save a Life I saw dogs were on ropes 2 to 3 feet long. I told him where in the sun and asked him to check the residence. My neighbor changed her route because she couldn't handle seeing these dogs in this position. I was told to take pictures, then he'd go look at them. Why is it if one of our cats sneezes, 10 trucks are on the way to Save a Life? And when animal control's duty is clear to help these poor animals being abused, nothing is done. No one denies the need for animal control. There are evil people around abusing animals. Animal control is not doing the function for which it was created. Burgess was aware of the tension between the caretaker and Reuben. Reuben had spoken with Burgess many times, stating how Tammy would not obey instructions and was being stubborn. She did clean kennels, and she knew the cats, and since no records had been kept previously, we tried working with her. However, Tammy could not handle changes and became disgruntled. Why would Officer Burgess not think twice when Tammy stated that last month we were not medicating animals? We've been doing this for a year and a half. Why would we stop 1 month and not do it? That is why he came out. We have not received vet reports on the animals, but we're told 3 were killed because they were tested positive for the FIV virus. Attached are papers which show these didn't have to be killed. FIV is not something an animal has to be killed for. That's old thinking. Officer Burgess had said 275 cats are sick and dying. A newspaper article states hundreds of unhealthy cats at the sanctuary. Nick Cullen states 66 cats were taken to various Bakersfield vets. Rest of cats are healthy. No plans for further investigation. Then we receive a letter from Animal Control stating we can have the cats back for $14,000. If we are such abusers and the cats are sick, why are they offering our cats back? Is this about money or animals? Thank you.
Thank you.
We have one more. It's very short. Rick?
I'll be short. 30 seconds.
Thank you.
Basically, what I'm going to say was on this paper, but I used to be just a supporter, actually a ranch hand. Now I live with the ranch. And that morning I was cleaning the first kennel, and a lady officer from the animal control asked me to step out, sat me next to Reuben, and a couple of the their workers, whatever you want to call them, deputies or I guess animal control people, were very rude with Reuben and very harsh. The problem that I'm having understanding is, because we were asking why they're taking the healthy cats and what was going on, and then they cut the chain. They didn't need to cut the chain on the front gate. Then I was asked to leave. I lived there. I was asked to leave 5 miles, I mean 20 miles to Mojave without a car. I was told if I put my foot back on the property, I'd be arrested. Now, it's 100 and some degrees on that day, and I'm forced to walk in the desert. We don't have good phone service out there, so I walked a good 5 miles before anybody could pick me up. And they told the same thing to our friend here. So I'm wondering, you know, why they... Because to me, it was more like they were having a drug raid or something, something big, something bad, but can't understand why, you know, people, and I'm a ranch hand, I clean the kennels, and I, you know, and I work with the cats, you know, and they're all healthy, and they're all very, very, you know, cats are almost like people, they just got their own language, you know, so I didn't understand the brutality part about it, you know, why they came in, why they were mean, why they couldn't be nice, why they couldn't ask no questions. They put Reuben in a police car with the windows rolled up. I mean, you can't even stick an animal in a car, you know, because it's going to suffocate. They had Reuben in the back of a police car for God knows how long, you know, and stuff like that. So basically that's it. You know, yeah, so that's what's happening. Like, they were very more like a rave. They were just like... I don't see why they had to be so harsh and so unreasonable and not caring. I mean, not caring about the cats is one thing, but they threw me out on this dirt road without a phone because there's no, we don't got good service out there. You know, dragging my tongue for 5 miles because they said they'd arrest me if I left the property. I couldn't come back till 3 o'clock.
I did the first one.
That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Collin, do you want to comment?
Not at this time.
Okay. I think considering this...
I probably should clarify to Mr. Lopez and his party. The letter that you received from Animal Services, the $14,000 bill, does not grant you the right to take your animals back. Read the letter. The letter obligates the department to continue to hold them with the possibility of you getting them back.
So we pay $14,000 and we still
do not get the cats back. That obligates the department to continue to hold the animals until the end of the case, if it should happen. So I just wanted to make sure
there's something really fishy about this
whole thing. Is fishy.
We did everything Officer Burgess asked for a year and a half.
Mr. Lopez, I would recommend that you forward that letter to your attorney.
We
and
have.
Your counsel guide you on what you should do from there on.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. All right. Thank you for bringing that to us.
We need
us.
A remotion.
Adjournment.
Yeah. Okay, we need a remotion for adjournment.
Any copies, anything that she provided to you, you need to give to Amber so that we have on the record.
So we've got two. We have extras down there.
Okay.
Do you have both of them?
Yes.
Okay. So then we need a new motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second? All in favor? Any opposed? All right.
And it's to Wednesday, the 21st of September.
Not
as
today.
As opposed to today.
That you're adjourning to?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, we can yell at Amber.
I wrote all over my page. I'm sorry.
I quit.
Yes.
I quit.
Madam Chair, can I make one other quick comment? I went to the website.
Well, we're